Welcome to the IRS Problems Podcast with Mike Evans and Certified Tax Resolution Specialist Todd Whalen. Mike and Todd will discuss listeners' questions and common problems you might face dealing with the IRS.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome into another edition of the IRS Problems Podcast. I'm Mike Evans from Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan, and that man right there is Todd Whalen from Advanced Tax Solutions, also DIYIRSHelp.com. Uh-oh, my dog Lulu wants to get involved here in the podcast. Hello, Lulu. Say hello, Lulu, to everybody out there. Now get out of my way and let me do my job. So she wants to hang around. Todd, good to see you again. We got a lot of ground to cover as we come out of the tax season. And maybe if I may start right there, what kind of advice would you offer for people who, let's say, get done with their tax returns and maybe they got some news that they didn't like? Is there anything that they can do in terms of reaching out to you and say, hey, I seem to be doing something wrong here that leads me to being not satisfied with my current tax situation? Is that something you can help? I know I'm kind of going off the script and off the playbook here, but it's just something that kind of dawned on me and I wanted to ask you.
Well, you know, a few things. You know, I think like the tax rules are always changing. I mean, I have to take classes every year just to figure out what's happening now. And so it is easy to not fully understand what you're doing. So if your outcome on your taxes are wrong or you're just not comfortable with them, you may want to have a professional look at them and just look over them and see if maybe down the road you want to use somebody else. So that's one thing. If you have a bad outcome, a lot of times if you're self-employed, it means you haven't been paying your estimated taxes, and that can be really serious. And so, you know, there's two things on that. One, the most important thing you can do is start paying your current ones, and then you can set up a payment plan on the back one, right? So you can do monthly payments to the IRS on the old stuff, but make sure that you're paying your estimated taxes, because if you're not, one, they may not set up a payment plan, and two, if you file again and owe, it's going to default your payment plan, and then it gets harder to set up another one. So most important thing is paying this year's taxes, 2022, and then making maybe a payment plan for 2021. And then wage earners, if you have a bad outcome and it's not because of a complicated tax issue, you know, sometimes you need a professional, sometimes you don't, and you might want to just change your withholding. And so instead of doing married in five, maybe you do married in two or married in one. And again, it's pretty easy to set up a payment plan if it's just 1 year. And that's pretty simple. And that's one where you might want to go to the DIYIRSHelp.com because there for less than $100, you can kind of get all the rules of what to do and what not to do when you call the IRS for a payment plan and understand the streamlined provisions so you can get the lowest payment amount. Because it's really, again, it's so important to pay this year, 2022, the best you can, and then do a payment plan on the old stuff. And so I go into those rules pretty thoroughly for a lot less money than coming into a professional. But if your taxes are complicated and you're just like, okay, my situation has changed, either your situation has changed or your situation is the same, but the rules have changed, then you may want to kind of talk to a professional. And we do have tax consultations where we kind of go through and do that. I personally don't. There's 12 of us right now, and I only do IRS resolution. I don't prepare any tax returns at all.
Of course. So, of course. Well, I think that's very helpful for people as we move into the post tax holiday season. So let's get to some of the questions. We love the feedback from all of you. And please, if you have a specific question for Todd, or really even more specifically, maybe you've been talking to a friend of yours or it's come up in conversation and they're sharing some of their IRS blues with you, then please let them know about what we're doing here, and they can send in questions, and we can certainly do our best to help. And the best way to reach out is to denverfan.com/tax. Again, denverfan.com/tax. And please send in your questions, because this is an opportunity for you to get free advice and really get an idea about what your next move or moves should be. So without further ado, let's get to today's question. And this question comes in and it says, Todd, my wife quit work. Will I still qualify for an offer in compromise? And maybe before you answer specifically that question, for anybody who is new to our IRS Problems podcast, maybe just a quick recap of what offers in compromise are and entail.
Yeah. So an offer in compromise is based on how much you owe versus how much you make and how many assets you have. In other words, what ability do you have to pay the IRS compared to what you owe them? And if it doesn't show the ability to pay them in full, there's a whole set of forms and rules on how to calculate what you can pay them and submit an offer and say, okay, look, you know, I can't pay this in full. Here's everything. This is what I can pay you. Let's make a deal. And we do quite a bit of that work. That's what we do mostly. And so some keys to that, and it ties right into this question, is your ability to pay. And so the less income you have, the more likely it is that you're going to get a good offer. So in this case, you know, the wife quit her job, and so together they have less income. And so at first blush, you would think, oh, well, I'm going to get a better deal. And that really might be true, but you better have your ducks in a row on why she quit, because you can't just quit. Like, you just can't quit and then submit an offer and then I have no income. Mm-hmm. But if it's legit, like, let's say, I mean, certainly if you just had a child and now she's going to be a stay-at-home mom, totally legit. And you're definitely going to get a lot better of a deal. So that would be awesome. Or if you had children and decided to be a stay-at-home mom, again, that would be good. Or there's an illness, if there's some real reason, but it can't be, oh, I just didn't feel like working anymore. then that wouldn't, it can't be part of, what is that, the great, I can't remember.
I know where you're going. I know, yeah.
Yeah. So the anyway, so if there's a good reason for quitting, if you cut your income down quite a bit, it definitely would be a good deal in an offer, because it's based on your ability to pay. And so let me just take that one step further for you. For a lot of people out there thinking, I want to do an offer in compromise. Over and over and over, I see people saving money so they have something to pay the IRS. Mm. And the problem with that is the more you have, the higher you go, you have to pay them. So every dollar that you save in your bank account is just more money you have to give to the IRS. So I would say, don't do that. You want to do an offer when you're the most upside down and you have the least amount of assets and the least amount of cash. So word to the wise there. In this case, the wife quits. If she has a good reason, or the family has a good reason, then great. That's perfect. But I have seen people try to submit an offer when they've lost their job, right? So now I have no income. And so now they want to do an offer based on no income. And the IRS just looks right through that and says, no, we're going to wait until you get a job. So, or we're going to base it on your old wages, but we're not going to accept an offer based on no income, because we know eventually you're going to have to go back to work. So I've seen a lot of people kind of fall for that mistake. So yeah, that's how offers work. And in this case, quitting for the right reason, great idea. Awesome. Great. Makes you a much better offer candidate.
So losing your job, if you lose your job through no fault of your own, you lose your job, the IRS says nothing's changed, let us know when you have a job. Does that mean your payments are, you still have to continue with your payments, correct? Or are you able to suspend, sort of put those on hold with the understanding you're still going to go out and get a job because you need to get a job?
Right. So if you lost your job, it would be a different solution, basically. You wouldn't qualify for an offer because they are going to say, well, you're going to work again. But there's a thing called uncollectible status. And you can call them up. There's two things you can do. You can call them up and be like, I just lost my job. And a lot of times they'll say, well, I'll give you 60 days. Call us back then. Tell us where you're at. And then in 60 days, if you get a job, then you can submit an offer and continue on down the path. I would call them and say, I got a job, but I just submitted an offer. Please put a hold on my account. So you could get just a temporary hold, like 60 days, or if you've been unemployed for a while and you're having a hard time getting a job and you're living off of, you know, unemployment or whatever, you have workers' comp, in that case, you might get what's called uncollectible status. So it's not a temporary thing. They put you on that for a year or two, but they're watching your tax returns. Mm-hmm. And if they start showing income on your tax returns, they're going to kick you out. And at that point, that's when you'd probably want to do an offer if you had a large liability. But yeah, anytime you lose your job, they'll suspend a payment plan for you. They'll just put it on hold for you. But you have to get through. And as we talked about last week, sometimes it's really hard to get through the IRS right now. Yeah. Yeah, remember the guy with he had an audit notice saying, hey, we changed your return. You owe all this money.
Right.
And they were wrong, but he couldn't get through to change it. So right now, it's terribly difficult to get anything through to the IRS, but you definitely want to call and keep on calling and try to get through if you lost your job and you were on some kind of a payment plan or owed them money, because you don't want them hitting your bank accounts.
If you get a new job and you're making more or you're making less than what you were before, I would assume that changes your ability or increases your ability to pay more or less.
Right. And basically, if your income went up, they're definitely going to build base your on your new income. Definitely. They're definitely going to do that. But if your income went down, this is where your negotiation skills come in. You have to sing for your supper. Because if it went down and it looks like something happened where your income's going to be permanently down, then you can really make those arguments, but they're going to want to average the last few years. But you'd have to be like, no, this is my income, and this is a kind of a permanent situation. So, and things like, let's say a banker is making $400,000 a year and he lost his job because of some ethical issue, then he'll probably never make $400,000 a year again. You know what I mean? So now he's flipping burgers in McDonald's. And you'd be like, well, this is permanent, and they'd probably buy that. But the people who have the hardest time with this are self-employed, because, I'm self-employed and my income does this, it's all over the board. And so when you have a bad year, then you really have to sing for your supper, because you have to prove, no, my job has suffered a permanent reduction. It's not just temporary, because what they're going to want to do is average the last 3 years. They always want to do that. But let's say you lost a key employee or your processes are now obsolete compared to what's come, what other people have, something like that, where you can prove, no, my printers right now are having a hard time, so if you could prove that, no, the industry is just in a serious decline, then my job is never going to be the same. I'm never going to make the same amount of money. Once again, those are arguments you have to make, but you have to make them and be convincing.
So, we offer here with the IRS Problems Podcast a chance to get some free advice. And again, send those questions to denverfan.com/tax. But Todd, tell us a little bit more about DIYIRSHelp.com and some of the services that you provide there, and who might be the best fit to reach out and use that as a tool to assist.
Okay, sure. As most of you guys know, I'm the owner of Advanced Tax Solutions. I started that many, many, many years ago. I've been doing this for decades. And a lot of times, two things would happen. One, the problem was just too small. And so it just didn't make sense to pay us a lot of money as a professional firm to fix a small problem. It just wasn't cost effective for people. And so, or they had a larger problem, but they absolutely positively no way could afford professional help. Then, you know, for a long time, there really wasn't much we could do for them. So I used to do every month or two seminars and try to teach people how to do it themselves, but people were finding it too hard to just do it on their own. And so I created this system called Do-It-Yourself IRS Help. And I have a module in there for offering compromises for wage earners. So if you're a wage earner and you're trying to do an offer and compromise, you can do it on your own. I go through all the forms you need, and I go through them line by line by line. And if something doesn't apply to you, just skip that section, and you can do an offer on your own. And then the second one is I have a payment plan module, so that I go through all that. There's called streamline provisions, fresh start provisions, you know, all these new rules. And then there's actually new rules specific to COVID too. I explain them all so that you can set up a payment plan on your own and you know what the IRS is going to want. And at the very beginning, I tell you right up front what will cause a payment plan to fail, so that you have a chance to fix it before you call them. You do not want to call the IRS and fail, because the first two questions they're going to ask you are, where do you work and where do you bank? And there's a sad, sad reason they want that. If things don't go well, and I think this is terribly sad. I've said this before, but you know, here you are, you're calling the IRS, you want to get this fixed, you need some help. And the first thing they do is set themselves up to be able to levy you. They want to take your stuff. So you don't want to give them that information and then fail. So there are things that will prevent them from being able to set up a payment plan. I explain that. And then I explain the rules of how much, what's the lowest payment they'll take. And if you qualify for those terms, and if you don't qualify for those streamlined provisions, I go into what financial information you'll have to give them. So the payment plan module is pretty good. It's very affordable, and you know, it's worth it to know. Now, obviously, there's nothing like a professional who has 20 years experience negotiating with IRS to call for you. But if you can't afford that, this is the next best thing, because I'm telling you the rules that I know when I'm calling and trying to do this. It's the same stuff over and over and over again. You just got to know the rules. So I explain them. So, you know, in a half an hour, you can be pretty comfortable calling the IRS on your own and setting it up. I tell you how to call them, how to do it online, how to mail it in, whichever method you choose. And right now, it's best to do it online, but some people can't. So next best thing is to call, but the bummer is people can't get a call in. Yeah. And then, so the third way is to mail it in. So I go through all three of those ways. So anyway, you have everything you need. It's a good tool for simple or complex even for complex, but only if you truly can't afford professional help.
And again, that website, DIYIRSHelp.com. Well, that'll do it for another edition of the IRS Problems Podcast. For Todd Whalen, I'm Mike Evans. Again, send those questions into denverfan.com/tax, and we'll see you again very soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the IRS Problems Podcast. If you have a question you'd like answered, please post your question at denverfan.com/tax.